Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour, all good here as we continue. It's been a busy show, a lot of things happening, and we'll get back to the call. All caller hour, Melissa starts us off. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Mr. Paul.
Hey there, how are you?
Good, first time calling, long time watching you.
That's fantastic.
I was calling in. Did you notice every time Expire calls in, he has a problem with LSU? Last week he was making fun, or the week before, of Kim Mulkey being a valedictorian in Louisiana, and he said anybody can get that. And then now he's down in Tiger Stadium. Next time he calls, I would like for you to ask him, what's his issue with LSU?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't catch I forgot about the Mulkey reference, but I will definitely do that. He's an Aggie fan, but nobody. I mean, anybody that ever goes to football. I mean, we're talking about a shrine of college football. Tiger Stadium is one of the most iconic places to go to a game anywhere.
Correct. Yeah, that makes sense why he's an Aggie fan. I really didn't know if he was for Texas or Texas.
Yeah, no, he's always talking about the Aggies. So I'm guessing, not that I have any experience in understanding fan bases, but I'm guessing that's where it goes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Next time when he calls, just ask him what's his issue with LSU, and go Tigers.
You got it, Melissa. Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Dale in Colorado is up next. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing fantastic.
Yeah, so I just got a couple quick questions, Paul. So I hear rumors that Alabama is, like, courting Tyler Van Dyke, you know, from Miami. Is that right?
Well, Dale, I've heard those rumors, but I want to caution you, just because there are rumors on the Internet doesn't make them true.
Okay. So with that being said, Paul, so Tyler Van Dyke is a starter at Miami. Why would he want to come to Alabama just to be a backup? I mean, that kind of says to me that, you know, maybe Saban, Bama doesn't have confidence in the guys they have in that quarterback room right now.
Well, I think there's some potential or possible truth to that. We had Pat Smith on earlier. He covers Alabama, and he said that the battle right now for Nick Saban primarily would be to keep whoever does not win the job there. Now, my question is, and this is an easier question in 24 hours, but there may not be a guy that comes out of that competition that looks like a championship quarterback.
Well, I think you're right about that, Paul. I mean, I think there's big questions in that room right now.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of questions, but and again, what we're talking about here is scuttlebutt. We don't know, and I want to make sure everyone understands that. Maybe under this new Tommy Reese setup, they're comfortable with Ty Simpson doing what he does well, or Milroe. Although I'm somewhat skeptical of that. More than somewhat.
Yeah, I'm somewhat skeptical too. Even though I'm a dog fan, and you know that. So they can get Tyler Van Dyke or Dick Van Dyke. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, I think, you know,
they want Dick Van Dyke as long as he doesn't drive.
I know, right? All right, thank you, Paul. Love your show.
I never thought, when I was a kid watching the Dick Van Dyke show, that 55 years later I'd be doing Dick Van Dyke is too old to drive jokes. I just didn't think that was – he was the funniest guy on TV. And that, I mean, that's what happens when you –
don't
Logan is up next. Logan, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Happy Friday. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I've got a theory. Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm watching you live right now, well, semi-live, on SEC Plus. I was doing a test run for tomorrow's big game.
Yeah, how does
and
that work?
It's looking great.
Okay.
It's a streaming service. There's a little bit of a delay, but there's not much.
So you're literally watching your TV, but you're seeing us on the streaming, right?
Yeah, it's just like your show.
Okay.
And everything's the same. You're talking to the camera and everything, so it's pretty awesome. I just figured out that I could watch you when you're not on SEC Network.
Yeah. By the way, I don't want to be the one that breaks this to everybody tomorrow, but I am going to. The two games tomorrow are going to be on this streaming service that you're talking about right now.
Exactly. And I'm ready, Paul. I got my popcorn ready. I'm ready to see.
There are going to be a few people tomorrow that are a little bit bent out of shape, but that's the new world that we live in.
Yeah, they no longer carry the game on ESPN with all the hype, with all those big-time guys there like they used to be, but that's fine. I mean,
Deion will be on tomorrow. Everybody's excited to watch Colorado spring game.
Oh, sweet. I can't wait. I'll try to catch that too. But hey, I wanted to let you know, I got a theory about Jim. He's been kind of happy lately. And I mean, happy for him. And I think his new friendship with I-Man, I think I-Man might have slipped him some shrooms, because I've been doing some research on that. And there's some mental conditions that can be helped by magic mushrooms. What do you think about that theory?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been in the shroom business, but I think you're right.
I think it's great,
are
man.
You still
I think
in the shroom,
Jim's
Randy?
Getting the help. Whatever help he can get, you know, that's great.
I wouldn't mind some right now just to make it to the final hour. let me light up a shroom here, Logan, and listen to some Lil Wayne.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That'll get you in the mood, man. I don't know. You can get crunk on there, Paul. Get crunk with some shrooms, man. And I think that might be the way to listen to that new Lil Wayne song.
What do you think I-Man's favorite go-to music is while he's puffing and puffing?
I don't see I-Man as a Lil Wayne listener.
No,
I don't know.
He's got this very specific Southern Rock, Grateful Dead, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't see him as
he's
a Grateful
Allman Brothers
guy.
He's probably an Allman Brothers Grateful Dead guy, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Probably a little Marshall Tucker.
Yeah. Marshall Tucker. Little
Willie.
Skinnard, for sure.
Skinnard,
for sure. And
Molly has it.
Maybe he'll call
Hissing
in.
On
is
summer
he called
lawns.
In today already?
What's that, Logan? I'm
sorry. Well, has he called in yet?
We have not heard from the head shroom.
The shroom man.
But you have to remember,
it is
April, and you know what happens in April. You have to get your air conditioning checked.
That's right. And shroom season, I think, probably is more like a May, June, July, I would imagine.
Is tomorrow Earth Day?
I think today is Earth Day, Paul. Yesterday was 420 day.
He might be recovering from that. So what do people do on Earth Day? They go out and listen to like an old speech from Al Gore or something?
Yeah, they listen to Al Gore and they plant trees and they roll around in the dirt, I guess, man.
Maybe play some who would be a good Earth Day? Jackson Brown he'd be a good Earth Day. Yeah.
Yeah, Jackson Brown. I mean, you could always go with some Neil Young, some solo Neil. That's
right.
Always a good one. Joni Mitchell, that'd be cool.
Joni would be a really good Earth Day.
Yeah.
I see Jackson, though. The Jackson of the 70s doing Earth Days.
Yeah, he would do it. And the old Crosby would be a guy, but he's no longer.
Oh, Crosby. Yeah, I mean, Crosby would be eating the grass.
Yeah, he'd be smoking the grass and smoking the trees, the leaves.
Well, Logan, you have brought the man out of the attic. And on this 421, we go to I-Man next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul.
Hey there.
You know, you're just talking about the music thing. Of course, I like all the Southern rock, a lot of the American national bands. But I tell you, I really enjoy a lot of the English acts, you know, from the 60s and the 70s. you know, the 10 years after.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that, you
I
know.
I like 10 years after.
I mean, I've Savoy Brown. I mean, the Faces.
Yeah. I like Faces was a really good group.
Yeah, they started out with Steve Marriott, and there was a Small Faces. At Ichiku Park and Tin Soldier and some stuff.
Oh, sure.
And then he left and started Savoy Brown.
Humble Brown.
And they got Rod Stewart and Ron Wood in, and they became the Faces. And
Ronnie Wood.
And then, of course, the Faces and Rod Stewart were the same band, but, you know, Rod was doing his solo career, Maggie May and, you know, Everpitch
Late
Tells
September,
a Story and that kind
really
of stuff.
Must be getting back to school.
And then the Faces were doing their thing, you know, Long Player and, you know, Stay With Me and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I like a lot of bands.
And then here comes
some
Bad
German
Finger.
Bands. Yeah, love Badfinger. And, you know,
well,
of course
McCartney
the Beatles
gave Badfinger all their songs.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell you, you know, and then they backed up George Harrison in the concert for Bangladesh.
That was
Leon
a great
Russell
concert,
and
by
music.
The way.
Yes, it was. I didn't really... You know, I never got
there.
Into the Ravi Shankar stuff.
No,
but
well, George,
I've
been trying to over a period of a long period of a long time watch Get Back, and George, I've been telling Rand. Have you seen this by any chance? I'm in.
No, the, not at
this
all.
This like 3-hour documentary on the Beatles that just came out about 2 years ago.
Right, right.
And
I've been waiting for.
It's while they were. It was while they were. While they were recording
Let It Be.
And I mean,
right.
One day George just shows up with like three guys who are, you know, from, I don't even know how to characterize them, but they were obviously doing a little bit of hash.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. You don't ever do a little bit of hash.
Well, I'm being very careful here in this politically
correct
world.
You're being kind.
I finally figured out how to just move along and skip, but there it shows McCartney writing a couple of songs. I mean, it's beyond unbelievable watching him come up with the tunes in real time.
Well, you know, that's what was so good about the anthology. You heard him rehearsing things,
right.
and then how they got from this point to that point. You get to collectively hear them beginning something.
Yeah.
And then taking it to the finished product. And that to me is amazing, the way the mind works when you're bouncing off ideas off each other.
Yeah,
of course,
I mean, it also showed
Harrison
was stuck on, he was doing Something, which is one of his most famous songs. And Lennon walks over and they started working on a couple of lyrics, and then Ringo showed up, which was of no help at all.
No help.
Ringo, go back to... they show Ringo sleeping during one songwriting session.
But you know, it's fantastic to be able to... It's fascinating to watch the Beatles and following the Beatles' career, you know, especially with George Martin and the influences he had.
Yeah.
Because I've read album covers and the guest artists
sure.
and all those kind of things and who produced and who played what. And I tell you... There's no telling where the Beatles would have ended up without George Martin, if we'd ever heard of him.
Yeah,
it
shows Billy Preston showing up at this session, and
right.
he obviously hangs out for the rest of it.
And I love some Billy Preston. You know, I mean, I've got an iPod, the original iPod, you know, and I've got over 15,000 songs on that thing to play like for 2.5 months without repeating anything. Of course, I have a lot of things that are repetitive on there. You know, different live versions and studio versions, stuff like that, solo versions.
Like the Rod Bram would call it the Kick Six.
Yeah. No, I really don't have any of that stuff, you know. But, yeah, when it comes to music, I'm pretty wide open. There's acts all over the world. You know, somebody said rock and roll is dead. Rock and roll is not dead if you get on the Internet and somebody shows you how to navigate to the different artists that are coming out. There's a bunch of great young artists that are coming out. I tell you, somebody that... You ever listen to any Dave Edmonds and Nick Lowe from Rock Pile?
I have, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I love that stuff. It's kind of got that rockabilly tone, but it's
oh, yeah.
that pure rock and roll from the 50s as well. And, no, there's a bunch of fascinating music. Of course, the Allman Brothers are right up there. And Wet Willie. You mentioned Wet Willie. Wet Willie's just doesn't get the credit they deserve.
Didn't we have the guy on Wet
Willie
a couple of months ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Hall.
Yeah. Jimmy Hall.
And, I tell you, one of the hardest working shows out there. I mean, they leave it on the table. I've probably seen them 15 times.
Okay, we'll be talking to some new acts here on Rock Line on Sunday night. We got a new group called Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. They'll be with us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We appreciate all of you being here. Let's continue with some more phone calls. And Trey is in Arkansas. Hey, Trey, good afternoon.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great, Trey.
All right. I wanted to say, Dwayne from Louisiana, them hogs are going to trample all over them tigers. I'm sorry to tell you. And Matt from San Antonio, the Aggie tears are going to taste good this year, let me tell you. Because you are going 5-7 again with a big loss to them Hawks.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You take care of yourself. Craig is up next in Georgia. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Craig, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Hey, diehard Georgia Bulldog since birth, right? So I was watching earlier, I saw the FPI rankings. I just want to say, hey, Paul, that's exactly what we need because that's what Kirby used last year. They don't respect us.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And I thought last year was overdone. But when you're a coach like Kirby Smart and everyone expects you to win, you have to find whatever. And I'm sure he's made sure that his team has seen that, and not that they wouldn't anyway. So there you go. He's finally got what he wants.
Exactly, Paul. Hey, I'm happy to see that. Hey, we number three. We got something to fight for.
Did you ever think, Craig, that Georgia would be so successful that being preseason ranked number three would, even though it's not even a legitimate poll, would give you the edge to try to be better?
Like I said, Paul, diehard Georgia fan since birth, and for the longest, it seemed like this time period right here was never going to come. Getting beat down by Spurrier in the 90s, then Saban come along, and Alabama seemed like they were never going to
And you know what's so interesting about that? I'm glad you mentioned that, because it took a daring decision, and people don't realize Mark Richt was coming off of a 10-win season. And no one else would have fired him except the decision was made by was it Greg McGarrity and the president that they heard rumors that Kirby Smart was going to South Carolina, and they said we can't let him get away. And I think it's one of those fascinating questions. What would have happened if Kirby Smart, he would have gone to South Carolina. He would have obviously been more successful than Will Muschamp, but would he have been successful enough for Georgia then to want him back?
Honestly, Paul, maybe. This might sound crazy, but some kind of how Will Muschamp might have landed.
Yeah,
in Georgia.
No, I mean, it's such a weird thing that, I mean, Mark Richt was a very good coach, but he wasn't good enough. And I think a lot of programs, I hear people say, well, you know, we owe him $80 million or let's give him a that's not really the world we live in anymore. You heard our guest a few minutes ago, Barry Trammell, say, hey, Venables better not have a bad year or things are going to start getting pressurized. And you just can't sit around and go, well, you know, what else are we going to do? You have to make a change if you think, especially if there's an opportunity to bring someone in like Kirby Smart.
Yes, sir. Exactly, Paul. Hey, but Paul, that's what I called to talk with you about today and say, hey, thank you, FPI, for giving us what we needed.
You got it, Craig. You called again. I never would have thought that that would be now a war cry, but Craig may have just given Kirby Smart something to think about. Dustin is in Tulsa. You're on the air on this Friday afternoon. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to, I believe the young lady's name was Melissa that you took at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
She wanted to know what Expired's problem was with LSU. I can tell you exactly what the problem is. He, like Matt, typical Aggie. They're never quite as good as they think they're going to be. They're never quite as relevant as they want to be. So they have to try to stand on the shoulders of others to feel tall. The Aggies are, by and large, a worthless program, a terrible fan base. They are the biggest babies in the SEC, maybe all of college football. And I really do hope that the gentleman you had on a couple days ago with his predictions was correct. I really do hope that their absolute ceiling is 8-4. Hell, everybody in the SEC calls them Texas 8-4 instead of calling them Texas A&M. So that's the
shot. You know what's so interesting, Dustin, how quickly that narrative has changed where a year ago, if you go back, the Aggies were a preseason top six team. They were coming off of a big year. And actually, it wasn't that great a year, but it was a good year because they beat Alabama. The better year was the year before. And no one thought, everyone said, I think they are going to be really good this year, but next year. Remember that? Next year. Next year is this year, and now we're talking about 8-4 being a ceiling. How quickly things change.
You're not going to believe this, so you might. I don't know. But I've just – and I spent my 20s living in Dallas, and I was friends with a bunch of Aggies and – guys that I still really love, so it kind of pains me to talk about their fan base the way that I do. But knowing all of them, I never really thought they were going to – I didn't believe the hype. I thought, well, they'll probably go 8-4, maybe 9-3. That'll be a good year for them. Some way, somehow, they will find an opportunity to trip all over themselves. But real quick, before I get out of here, I did want to ask you a quick question. Yeah, I remember you mentioned maybe a month ago – that you had some involvement with a documentary or a series like that involving Florida around the Urban Meyer time.
Yes.
When will that come out? And is there anything you can tell us about that? Because I
can. It's funny. I did the interview exactly a year ago, and it was with Netflix. It was right in the middle of the month, and at the time, it was supposed to come out in January of this year. Obviously, it didn't do that. It's being done by a production company out of London. I'm sure they'll love me telling this, but I'm going to anyway. It will come out next, when is it coming out? Is it at the beginning of the season? Yeah, it's coming out in August. Yeah, it's coming out in August, right before the season. What's the name of it, like Down Where the Gators Swim or something? I really don't remember. It's like a 4-hour documentary, and it's not about it's not about now. It's about Urban Meyer's years at Gainesville, and
absolutely.
Yeah, I just don't remember the name of it, but we'll obviously. They've interviewed everyone. When I saw Tebow this summer, I said. He said, "Yeah, I heard you interviewed." I mean, Urban gave them enormous time. Tebow, you name it. There's some Aaron Hernandez stuff in there that will be. There's also some locker room footage that's pretty pretty revealing.
Well, I will definitely be lining up to watch that the first day that it drops.
And Dustin, I want to admit, I tried to talk these people out of interviewing me. They called me and. A couple of months earlier, and I said, I was down there, but I didn't cover the team like Buddy Martin or Pat Dooley. So I said, you maybe have the wrong guy, but they showed up with for an 8-hour shoot anyway.
Well, I'm sure they got the right guy. I'm sure it'll be good.
No, they really didn't. My stuff on Urban Meyer would have been better because at one point I went off on Urban Meyer, which was easy to do. And he had just been fired from, and they said, no, listen, they had this British, Mr. Feinbaum, we are talking about 2006, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I said, oh, okay. I can't. He said, you liked Urban Meyer back then. They reminded, they read some comment I had written back then. So it was really weird. But when you do a time piece though, for a documentary, you have to stay within the time. You can't add on afterwards. Quick break. We are back for 25, 30 more minutes. You can give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we still got some time to go here. And we hope you'll give us a ring. 855-242-7285. Is that you over there calling me, Randy?
Yeah.
You want to talk to this guy.
Randy, what's going on?
Bubba.
Hey, Paul,
Randy's
how you doing this afternoon?
Bubba.
That's right. Hey, June the 2nd, it's National Bubba Day. You better get ready, Paul.
Now, what happens on National Bubba Day?
I have no idea. I didn't find out about it till last year. But
now, Bubba, tell me this.
They have a day for everything anymore, so why not National Bubba Day?
Your name is probably not Bubba. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that's very accurate. But most people down south, if you get a nickname hung on you as a kid, you never lose it. And
now, where did you grow up?
Actually, I was born in North Carolina, but I grew up in Southwest Virginia, just north of Bristol.
Okay, well, then you really don't count.
Henceforth, the hillbilly accent.
But between Arkansas, Mississippi, and Alabama, which state has the most Bubbas?
I couldn't begin to even guess, Paul. I couldn't even begin to guess.
Because I don't sense North Carolina as being that big of a Bubba state, is it?
I think Mississippi might be loaded.
Well, I don't know. I know two or three Bubbas around here. Actually, they're young boys, but I don't know. It's just
And what does that mean to be called Bubba?
I have no idea about that either. All I knew is it got hung on me at a young age, and it stuck.
Hey,
and it seemed like the worse I hated it, the worse it stuck. So
wasn't that Bill Clinton's nickname? Didn't they call him Bubba?
Nah, I don't think Bill Clinton was a Bubba.
I remember. I thought they called him that.
No, I used to call into your show as Mike, which is my name, and you had so many Mikes called in, so I hadn't seen any Bubbas call in, so I'm just going to call in and start using my nickname.
I will say this, and I say this affectionately, but you sound like a Bubba.
We need you.
Hey, I look like a Bubba. I go to the same barbershop you do. I heard Randy chuckle on that one.
Randy, that's interesting. I don't know why I'm into names all of a sudden.
Oh, I'm a poster child for Bubbas around the world. I'm Bubba size too. So
nice. He represents well.
But no, I got a question for you. I heard you talk about Kirby Smart and the FPI rankings or whatever. And do you honestly think Kirby gives two flips about that FPI ranking?
No. I mean, and I don't think even Kirby Smart can use that as a disrespect, because he's going to be preseason number one in the AP and the coaches poll and every other poll.
And he knows that. And I saw somebody ask Josh Heupel the other day. They said, well, they've got Tennessee picked to go like 8-4, you know, in the FPI football power index. What do you think about that? Josh Heupel said, listen, we expect to win every game. You know, he said, I don't pay any attention to any preseason games or preseason polls. We expect to win every football game. And I'm telling you, Paul, all of your top coaches in most every sport approaches it the same way.
No, Bubba, the great coaches.
Because the only way you can prepare to win the game is expect to win.
It's going to be very beneficial, because he's seen this 1,000 times. That Saban never worried about anyone. The only group he worried about was his own. He said, we do what we're supposed to do.
Team to beat Alabama was Alabama.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, if they beat theirself, then that was out of their control.
And I will tell you, Bubba, if you look at the great athletes in history, and they are consumed with themselves.
Yes.
Tiger Woods has never cared about what anybody else is shooting, as long as he's not worried about them, because he knows I'm talking about not Tiger Woods of 2 weeks ago trying to make the cut, the Tiger Woods in his prime. The best athletes are always like that.
Yeah, Tiger competed against himself when he was at his peak. You know,
he did quite well.
Oh, absolutely. But honestly, every team prepares to win, because if you don't, you're in bad shape, you know. And I mean, I just honestly, all of these preseason polls, that's like last year. Even I knew you were hot for Alabama last year. You know, you stated they had the number one offensive and defensive player.
I've been guilty of being this hot should for be Alabama it. A few times.
Yeah. And honestly, I think Georgia is the team to beat this year, but I've just got a sneaking feeling that they're not going to win it all this year. I don't know why.
But Bubba, Alabama should have won it last year. And, I mean, Georgia was good, but by no means was Georgia as dynamic as they were the year before.
No, I don't think Georgia was. I think Georgia got out of the Ohio State game by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. That was your national championship game.
That's true.
Because that TCU game was
an
exhibition.
Missouri, but nothing else. They really just were sleepwalking the whole year.
Yeah, and Tennessee went to Georgia. They didn't have the talent to line up man to man and beat those guys. And they put forth a good effort. They were competitive with them, but honestly, you know, player for player, they couldn't match up with Georgia.
No.
And I'm going to tell you a little something about the South Carolina-Tennessee game. And I'm not making an excuse, because there is none. But there was a lot of locker room turmoil in Tennessee the week before that.
Do we know now what we didn't or thought we knew then? What was all that about?
Well, basically, the linebacker. Oh, my God, I just went blank. The one that Pruitt had the trouble with, Jeremy Banks.
Okay.
He stepped on the power tee in the locker room.
And you buy all that? You think that's what happened?
Well, no. I'm not saying that was that big a deal.
I had people inside that operation telling me they thought that was going on. I'm not inside the locker room, but inside the university. But I never could confirm that.
Listen, Paul, that caused a rift between the offensive and defensive unit. Not every guy on the offense and defense, but that caused some bad chemistry that week. Jeremy Banks got left in Knoxville that week.
Okay.
And like Banks or hate him, he kind of was the hinge point of that defense. And it hurt them. They went down there asleep, and South Carolina destroyed them. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
No, I would say if you look back at last season, that was among the top two or three biggest surprises of the year.
That was uncalled for. I mean,
nobody saw that.
I didn't have a bigger problem. I didn't have that bigger problem with South Carolina beating them. I had a big problem with them destroying them.
Yeah.
Because they should have been way more competitive in that game.
The only
thing more surprising than that was what
South Carolina did the next week against Clemson.
Yeah, but then again, I think Clemson didn't have a very good football team.
Well, but it was only because of where the game was.
Yeah. I mean, Dabo, I think Dabo's lost touch with this new reality.
You know, I said it 2 years ago, Bubba, and I had a lot of people come after me. I just said it for alliteration purposes. I was on Get Up, and Greenberg asked me about Dabo, and I said, I was just thinking, as he asked me, I said, Dabo's dynasty is done. And it got picked up by all the Twitterverse. And did I really know that? No.
They got to have something to talk about.
And it was over. I really think it was over. And I think last year proved it.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.